Gage, your inside pass to everything Saints football.
See you later, bye. Touchdown, Rashid Shaheed.
We'll take you to places most fans never go. To practice, to the sideline, to the locker room. Following every twist, turn, and touchdown of the Saints season.
That is going to be a touchdown, Taysom Hill. Taysom TD.
Welcome to Inside Black and Gold.
To the end zone, and that is a touchdown for Chris Olave.
Now, here are your hosts, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak.
Welcome inside Black and Gold Organized Team Activity Edition. The Saints are starting their voluntary workouts up, going to the Hall of Fame Celebrity Golf Shootout also. And we'll have plenty of insights from that we heard from Mickey Loomis, Kellen Moore, Cedric Wilson Jr. sounded off. But Jeff, we're getting, you know, into the phase three of the offseason program. In year one under head coach Kellen Moore. And it was good to see him, I guess, out on the links enjoying some downtime, I guess you would call it. I didn't peg Kellen Moore as much of a golfer, but he looked like he did pretty good out there.
Yeah, I don't think Kellen is much of a golfer. I think he's more of a hack, but that's okay. You know, that's what you're here for. You know, I do find this time of year funny because when you say organized team activities, it sounds so boring. But when you say like OTAs, it sounds like, wow, it's something.
Wow, what's that?
It's not. It's boring. It is boring, but we're so starved for stuff to talk about that we're going to talk about it. And yes, they had the Celebrity Golf Shootout. They do it every year. But yeah, so we'll get into that. I just talk about some of the stuff that was said in this first segment, the news, which there's really no news. You know, I want to talk about veteran quarterbacks. I want to talk about attendance, that sort of thing. Second and third segments, we're going to go through my way too early roster projection, which I think is, you know, it's way too early to do this, but I do think there's value in it because it's a lot harder to go into training camp without some sort of baseline of where do I think things are now. And I kind of approach it as not necessarily predicting the future, but if I had to create a 53-man roster today, what would it be? So the second segment's going to be the offense, third segment is going to be defense and special teams. We'll try not to make this 2 hours long. So we're going to speed through a couple of the positions, talk more about the positions that are actually interesting, but there are a lot of interesting positions. So that might be extended. So, you know, maybe let's do it in parts. I don't know. Either way, that's what this episode is going to be. You know, and so one of the questions that we aren't going to answer in the roster segment, but we are going to get to here is, okay, right now you have four quarterbacks in this room, none of whom are over the age of 26, and that's Jake Haener. Only two of whom have started NFL games. One of them started six games, one game that he was pulled from at halftime. None of them have won an NFL game. And it sure seems like the Saints, at least at this point, are not planning to add a veteran quarterback to that mix. And keep in mind, there really aren't any out there that's like, oh yeah, that makes a ton of sense. Like most of the quarterbacks you would have added are done. So at least through OTAs, this team looks ready to roll through with no veteran options.
Yeah, that was kind of my take on it too. You hear from Loomis, head coach Kellen Moore. And right now it seems like you mentioned they're going to stand pat. I could see maybe when, you know, other teams start whittling down their rosters and potentially if a veteran becomes available with a little more playing experience to add to the roster. But like you said, do you really want to bring in a Carson Wentz that's out there right now? How much is he going to add value to this quarterback room? Except that he has playing experience.
Yeah, this is what Mickey had to say the other day when he was asked on this subject.
You think about a young quarterback room, like essentially everybody's really young.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're young. It's a young group, enthusiastic. There's talent there. And I think we got a great coaching staff. I mean, we've got three former quarterbacks, you know, with Kellen, with Doug Nussmeier, and with Scott in the room with them. So I think that's a good mix.
But just is it unusual to have a whole quarterback room? I know it's unusual, but I guess could you kind of put it in perspective where there isn't currently, I don't think there's currently one regular season win among that whole group? Just give some perspective on how you view that as not a problem or whatever.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. But I don't think that that's rare. And you know, I think there's been lots of quarterback rooms around the league over the years where they've got a young group and they got to develop them. I wouldn't say it's ideal, but that's the hand we've got dealt with us right now.
So I will challenge one thing he said there, which is it is definitely rare to be in the situation the Saints are in. It is not necessarily unheard of to be in the situation the Saints are in, but it's definitely rare. Like, this is not something you see happen very often. I know Noah.com pulled a few examples of teams that went into a season without any type of veteran option or any quarterback that started games at the NFL level. One of them was a Seahawks team that Mickey Loomis was also a part of in terms of the front office. Another was a Panthers team that went 1-15. So, like, they are in mostly uncharted territory, definitely for the Saints. This is the most inexperienced QB room the Saints have had probably in franchise history. So, yeah, I mean, it's not normal. Is it the end of the world? Is it a major problem? That's a different question because, and this is what you'll hear, and this is fair, you have Kellen Moore, who is a former quarterback, who's worked with young quarterbacks. He's never gone into a season with a starting quarterback over the age of 26 years old. Dak Prescott was 26 when they got together. Kellen was also his teammate when he was a rookie back in 2016, so he's watched that process. He was the veteran quarterback in the room to lead that group that the Saints don't actually have. So he has at least experience of what you need to do and how that can go well. Justin Herbert, I think, was 25 when he coached him. Jalen Hurts was 26. So, you know, we'll see. Scott Tolzien's another former quarterback. Doug Nussmeier's another former quarterback. Scott Linehan's a former quarterback, former head coach, former offensive coordinator. So you got pieces that can help these guys develop, but it's not normal is really what, like, the people are going to try to normalize this. The coaches are going to try to normalize this. It's not normal. It is very unusual to be in the situation the Saints are in.
And a lot of that definitely has to do with the kind of surprising retirement from Derek Carr. And that was one thing Mickey Loomis did not want to talk about that at all. I thought that was kind of telling of just how, it seems at least, he's pretty ticked off and is like, I think we've said everything that needed to be said about it.
Unfolded and you all reaching an amicable agreement.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've said everything that we need to say on that.
You've been in the league a long time. You've seen a lot of different situations. Is this one of the more unique, strange, crazy situations you've dealt with a quarterback maybe in his prime or in his 30s that just decided to part ways?
Yeah, well, look, he was injured. So I've been around a long time, so there's not many things that I haven't seen. You know, you have injuries that come up and things that you may not think are that serious at one time that end up becoming serious. So from that aspect, I would say it's not rare, but it doesn't happen very often. And so you get curveballs in this game all the time, and this is one that we have to deal with.
Again, it is rare. It is not normal to see a quarterback that was believed to be largely healthy going into an offseason suddenly retire. Again, there are examples of it. It is not unheard of, but it does not happen very often. The best example Drew Brees brought up on Sports Talk a few days ago or last week is Andrew Luck. Like, that's really the only similar example of a guy that you felt like was a starting quarterback, if he had come back, would have been the starting quarterback, suddenly decided to retire mid-offseason, right? Like, that's a good example of it, but it's not something that you see often, right? Drew Brees retired. He was in his 40s. Tom Brady retired. He was in his 40s, right? Phillip Rivers found a way to play several more years, staving off retirement. Eli Manning was an interesting example, because he was still healthy enough to play, but he kind of got ran out by the Giants for Daniel Jones prior to making the decision to retire, didn't want to go anywhere else. So again, no, this is not a normal situation. This is a highly irregular situation. That doesn't mean the Saints can't navigate it and have success navigating it, but to try to play it off like this is something that happens all the time, it absolutely does not. And that's something that we can move forward from. But it would be nice if people could stop trying to pretend to me that this is something that's, oh, yeah, yeah, sure. Of course. Yeah, we no, this isn't just a curveball. This is you replace the baseball with a block of ice. Anyway.
It just sort of seemed like Mickey Loomis is a bit ticked off and really didn't have much to say about or didn't want to say much to us about it. Kind of like you remember when Sean Payton retired, it was kind of he put off his comments and we never got those from him.
It's still too emotional for him.
Right.
He's still not ready to talk about it. It's been 4 years. Yeah. No, I make a joke about that every couple of months in the media. It's like, you think this is the time Mickey Loomis is going to talk about Sean Payton? But no, I mean, so we'll see. Again, it's not about whether, you know, it's not something that you need to look at and say like, this happens all the time. So, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. It's weird. And so there's really no great example for how it's going to go. And we can't really look at former past examples and say, well, they did this, they did this. It is almost uncharted territory for basically every team in the NFL. So we'll see. You're going to have a quarterback competition. You're going to have a lot of young quarterbacks battling for this. We're going to talk more about that in the roster segment in terms of, okay, who's going to, you know, where do we see that going? But let's move forward. OTAs coming up. As always, this time of year, I feel it's important to remind everyone optional. That's not what the O stands for, but it is a word. These are not mandatory. These are optional organized team activities.
That might be better than organized, optional teamwork activities.
Yeah, but I mean, they are organized too. So I think organized is important because you can have team activities that are kind of, you know, like if the team isn't organizing them, the players can do whatever team activities they want. These are organized by the team. Thus, they are kind of handled by the CBA. And so they can only do certain things. If the players want to get together and throw on the side, they can do that all they want. But the coaches can't be involved in it and so forth. But this was Kellen talking about attendance and his expectations for attendance this week. And once we hear that, we can go forth.
It's been good. Obviously, it's a voluntary phase. And so certainly there's guys that have different circumstances in their life. And we certainly understand that. But I feel like guys have been here a ton of it. And they've really been participating, been engaged. It's been a really good process.
Yeah. So again, kind of making it clear, not mandatory. And why do I bring that up? Well, this week, Alvin Kamara made it pretty clear. He didn't explicitly say he wasn't going to be there, but he did make it pretty clear. Hey, I'm going to Jordan, Africa, this week. So unless he planned to make that a 24-hour turnaround, I don't think he's going to be at OTAs. And that's not unusual. Alvin has not been a guy who typically goes to these OTA sessions. That said, this is the first year of a new head coach. This is the first year of his two-year, $24.5 million contract extension, which I believe has some level of workout incentives in it. So I'd be curious to see ultimately what those incentives are, if it needs to be 100% in participation, if there's a certain level of participation, maybe he shows up at one of them or two of them. I don't know. Alvin's not the type of guy who wants to leave money on the table, so we'll see. I know in the past that has been a point of contention, like, we want you here. Clearly, you know, he's not a guy that I'm worried about getting the work done. Never has been. So from that perspective, it's really not a big deal, but he's almost definitely not going to be there on Thursday when we're out there to watch practice. And I'd be surprised if we see him for the second session, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, for sure. When Alvin needs to be there, he's going to be there. And I feel like every year we go into it with this discussion, but come mandatory time when he's got to be in the building, Alvin will be there on the field. And there's no doubt to me, like, you could be a Martian coming in to watch practice, never seen football before, and he's going to be somebody that stands out where you're going to go, who is that guy? Because he looks like and moves like a different guy out there than everybody else. He's that elite.
Yeah, physically, there's no concern whatsoever in terms of how he's going to come again. He went out to Colorado to work with his longtime trainer over the offseason. Like he does the work. I do think there's a level of, hey, it's a new system and we want to build something here. Sure. And we want everyone involved from the jump. I get that. Some people that works for more than others. Like, yeah, the team wants everybody there. Not going to, you know, they're going to play the game of like, yeah, it's optional. They want everybody there. That said, if there was a player I was least concerned about actually being there, it would be Alvin. And he just doesn't, I mean, it's not his process. His process works, right? There's been no issue with his process. So we'll see. But that's really the only news we have so far. And I don't want to, you know, in past years, I've kind of guessed who might be there, who might not be. I don't want to play that game this year because there's so much I don't know in terms of, you know, what Kellen's demands are, what his expectations are. I think you'll probably get better attendance this year than most because it's a new head coach. But, you know, it's, we're going to make a big deal about it. I remember Mike Thomas not being there was a big thing for Bobby. And then Mike showed up and everyone was like, whoa, you know, so we'll see how it goes. Either way, you know, we'll be out there on Thursday. It'll be hot as shit. I might have to, usually I don't splurge for a cooling towel for these ones because it's only one a week. I might have to because, man, it is hot this week. So all these players who thought rookie minicamp was hot, they'll be getting a baptism in Louisiana humidity. But, yeah.
So Alvin's getting his heat training in Africa.
Maybe. Definitely not cooler there. Although, I don't know, maybe right. It is in some parts of it. Who's to say? But
one guy, though, I think it's safe to say we know Cam Jordan will be there because he's just a football junkie.
Yeah. Cam Jordan will be there. You know, it's the guys who you wonder about, you know, Tyron will be there. DeMario will be there. You know, you don't really have a ton of mid-tier veterans that I wouldn't call team leaders anymore, right?
Right.
You know, like either you're a veteran with team leader or you're not a veteran. Like a Nathan Shepard maybe, or like a Colin Saunders, maybe they don't show up because they're veterans. But I think these guys are contending for a spot on the roster, right? Like if I feel like I don't have a concrete spot on this roster, I'm going to every workout. And like in the past, like a Paulson Adebo, for example, he was a guy who would skip and you're like, he's guaranteed a spot. He's not what I would call a team leader, but he's definitely a concrete roster spot. And there's a lot fewer of those on this year's roster than in the past. And we'll get
Marshawn
to that.
Too.
Marshawn. Yeah, sure. Sure. But just, you know, maybe it's a cornerback thing.
Right. Exactly.
I don't know. But all right, let's wrap up this segment. We're going to come back and we're going to preview. Okay. The offensive side and our way too early 53 man roster projection. Kind of go through position by position as we do every year. We're not going to go through every single one of these roster projections on the pod, but I do want to get a kind of a head start of a baseline of where we are, because if we establish a baseline, we can change stuff as we go. So with all that, man, this is Inside Black and Gold. I am Jeff Nowak. He is Steve Geller. Thanks, everyone, for listening. As always, make sure to hit that subscribe button wherever you are listening, wherever you might want to listen. If you're listening on a podcast player, maybe go over to YouTube and see what that's all about. If you're on YouTube, maybe just hit the button on the podcast just to say, hey, that's cool. Good stuff. Anyway, that's all I had to say on that front. We'll be right back. I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Steve Geller. This is Inside Black and Gold.